This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
This episode is brought to you by Full Pull Wines.
Molly, when you walk into the wine section of the grocery store, do you ever feel a little flummoxed?
I did just yesterday, actually.
Well, Full Pull Wines can help. You can sign up for their mailing list at fullpullwines.com, and they will send you stories about Northwest wines and some imported wines. And if you like what you hear, you can pick it up at their warehouse in Soto, Seattle, or they will ship it to you. And autumn-winter offers include a red blend from Quill Cedar Creek, deeply discounted Cabernet Sauvs and Syrahs, and a sparkling rosé made exclusively for list members. Like me, I'm on the list.
You are? Oh my gosh, I'm going to get on the list too. To find out more, you and I can go to fullpullwines.com.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And I'm petting my dog.
Oh, and I'm pretending I'm not chewing lentils, which is the topic of today's episode.
Yes, today we're talking about lentils.
I just said that.
Yes. Hey, do you want to start with memory lane, or should we really dive deep into what the heck these are?
Let's, well, I don't have any. I definitely knew lentils existed.
Wait, you don't have any memory lane on lentils? There are no lentils on your memory lane.
I probably ate a lentil soup once or twice and didn't have strong feelings about it one way or the other. No. Okay, well, yeah, I'm sorry. I got memory lane.
Oh, good.
It just clicked. For a time, my grandfather, who is a big Francophile, like some other people.
Wait, you have one of those in your family?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Like my grandparents used to.
Wait, is this the grandfather who's kind of insufferable?
Yeah, he's currently 101 years old and still a real dick.
Oh, perfect.
But he and my grandmother used to like spend some time in France every year, which I realize how insufferable that sounds. And when I would visit them in New Jersey, we would go into Manhattan and they would take me to their favorite fancy French restaurant, La Côte Basque, which I don't think still exists or may have like changed names. Anyway, it was like a really like classic, you know, haute cuisine French restaurant and like definitely the only place like that I had ever been to at that time in my life. And I remember my grandfather telling me that the best lentils in the world are Puy lentils from France and that I should order like the Toulouse sausage maybe
on like a bed of lentils.
Yes, exactly. And I did. And it was great. He was right. I mean, I don't know if they were literally the world's best lentils.
How old were you?
I think 17.
I love picturing this.
Yeah.
This is great.
I had so much hair.
I think there's no 17-year-old boy who would ever like think to order lentils on a menu.
Yeah. And then after that, I was super into lentils. Not really.
No, okay.
Still girls.
I am sure that my parents cooked lentils at home. I know that there was like some lentil soup, usually not made at home. Like I feel like lentil soup would be something that would have been like offered in a restaurant or a cafe.
And yet
something.
It's so easy to make.
It is. We'll get to that, Matthew.
Okay.
What I really remember was, so my freshman year at Stanford, I had this advisor who, I guess for freshmen at that time, they didn't necessarily pair you up with a professor as your advisor. So what I, the person I was paired up with was basically like a researcher, I think, at Stanford Medical Center.
Okay.
Her name was Indira Sohel, and she was, she was this lovely, lovely Indian woman, very thick accent. She lived alone, I think, or maybe she had grown children, but anyway, she was so dear, and she would send me emails through Webpine.
Oh, my God.
And she would...
Wait, before Webpine, did you use, like, the text-based command line Pine?
No.
Oh. Okay, listeners, I want all my Pine heads out there. Come to facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. I want to hear your memories of Pine, the email client. Please continue.
Anyway, in these emails, she would say, "Why don't you come home for lunch one day?" would phrase it. Isn't that so dear? So I would go to her house, which was kind of like in the sort of this nebulous area where a lot of people who work at Stanford live, kind of right off campus. And she would have made all of this delicious South Indian food.
Uh-huh.
And it was stuff I'd never had before, because at that time I had only ever had like Northern Indian food in restaurants. And she would make this delicious, really simple, thin yellow lentil dal that was just so fragrant. And that was always the first thing we would eat. And then she would have made all of these other dishes and things too. And I can just picture so well sitting at her table, and she had a couple of other advisees too. And, you know, I don't think any of us ever really used her very much. And she kind of, you know, at a certain point, we just stopped hanging out. But she was so lovely. And I remember for the first time, like really, well, she was obviously like a very comforting presence my freshman year of college.
She was like the roast chicken of people.
She was the roast chicken of people. But I just remember... I think it was the first time I'd ever had like a yellow lentil dal, or a dal, period. And it kind of was like, oh, look at all these things people make with lentils.
Yeah. So I think thinking about it now, this just became clear to me as you were saying this, that it seems to me that like of the cuisines that I'm familiar with, I should specify, like Ethiopian and Indian food has done so much more with lentils than anyone else I can think of.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Middle Eastern cuisine. I mean, like, you know, Arabic traditions have done a lot with lentils. But yeah, I think that I first came to really understand like the potential of the lentil.
Oh, is that the name of your lentil cookbook?
That's the potential name of my new of the book, lentil. The potential of the lentil.
No, you have to say it with the pause. The potential of the lentil.
through Indian food. Yeah. But anyway, so that's kind of like...
That's a beautiful memory lane.
She was so lovely. I mean, it makes me want to invite someone home for lunch.
Yeah, I mean...
Why don't you come home for lunch, Matthew?
Oh, thanks. I thought you'd never ask.
Anyway.
Yeah. So
that's been our super tender lentil episode. You can buy my new book.
Super tender lentils.
No, the potential of the lentil.
Wow. The pause just gets more and more present.
Anyway. Okay. Go on. Let's talk about, what these are, because I absolutely.
That was classic. Go on. Let's talk about.
Because really, I think that lentils have existed for me in this like nebulous category.
Lentils have existed for millions of years, probably.
In this nebulous category called legumes.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really understand until I started researching for this episode, like how they were different from like a garbanzo bean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, legumes are like, I was about to say something that is going to make sense to the biologists out there and no one else. Legumes are like the Beatles of the plant kingdom.
Do you mean the plant, or do you mean the bug, or the band?
Oh, the bug. That's a good point. It probably sounded like I meant the band, especially since we were talking about that last week. Among animals, there are more species of beetles by a huge margin than of any other type of animal.
I guess cockroaches. Wait, are roaches beetles?
Roaches are not beetles,
We need to have a guest entomologist are beetles. On this show.
Yeah, we do need to have a guest entomologist. I've been saying that for a long time, since episode one, which was about Crickets. So there are jillions and jillions of different species of legumes, which are plants that have, you know, the fruit is like a pod with some seeds in it.
Yes, and they are used in all kinds of different things, not only for food, but also for fixing nitrogen in soil.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was broken.
And they sort of do what fertilizer does, only they're natural.
Yeah.
And you don't have to make them.
I mean, but it takes longer.
It's true, I guess.
Yeah, they make themselves. Yeah. So we eat a wide variety of them, but also like not even so much as a tiny fraction of all the legumes out there.
But so pulses.
Okay, you schooled me on this. I thought I knew, but then you got more specific.
Okay, so a pulse is a type of legume that is harvested only for its dry seed.
Is it true that if you put two fingers on the pod of the legume, you can feel the pulse?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Dumb.
That was the worst.
Yeah.
That was so dumb.
Okay, no, so pulses are ones that are grown with the intent of drying them, right?
Yes. So this includes like lentils. This includes, you know, garbanzo beans, kidney beans, most of these beans that we think of. It doesn't include things like green beans or green peas, things that are harvested green and intended to be eaten green. Those are considered vegetable crops.
All right. Yeah, because I don't think you can dry a green bean, right?
I don't think so. I mean, you can do that weird like
those freeze dried pea pod things they have at like a Trader Joe's. Are those actually made from pea pods, or are they made from like pea flour that's been shaped into a pea pod shape?
You know, I hoped that they were pea pods that have been dried,
but now I've ruined it for you.
I've actually found that I think that they're just like compressed air that's shaped to look like a pea.
Yes, the entire bag contains nothing but compressed air.
Anyway,
but the nitrogen has been fixed.
Okay, so basically lentils, they are pulses, which means that they are legumes that are, they're edible, right? Didn't you come up with that succinct phrasing that pulses are edible legumes?
But then that was not specific enough.
Yeah, so basically
I came up with that very simple wrong phrasing.
So pulses are hugely nutritious. They're basically like all the beans we think of.
Yeah. What beans do you think of when you really sit down to just think about
of beans?
I think kidney. I think black-eyed pea.
Oh, wow. I think beans.
I think generic bean. I think refried.
But here's what I really love. So lentils.
Yeah.
Okay. They are lens-shaped seeds.
Yeah.
Isn't that, like, really elegant?
Well,
I think the word lens just looks really sexy.
I think the word lens comes from lentil, not the other way around,
well,
right?
Well, yeah, so Wikipedia told me the word lens in optics comes from the lentil-like shape of early double convex lenses.
Yes, like the ones in our eyes or in our magnifying glasses.
Lentil is lens in Latin.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you used a magnifying glass?
Oh, wow. My parents used to have one of those like old school Oxford English dictionaries
with
that
the pull-out drawer.
The pull-out drawer. Yes, we never used it.
Yeah, of course not. No one ever used that.
No.
It was enormously cumbersome.
And it was so heavy.
And full of words that you don't need.
Right. So
but
anyway.
Other than that, but it had a cool, and the magnifying glass was like rectangular kind of, right?
No. Yes, it was. It was rectangular, and I think it was exactly the width of one column.
Oh, wow.
I think.
Yeah, I wonder if you can still buy that. Probably
I'm
on
sure.
eBay for like a dollar plus $89 shipping.
Anyway, so yeah, pulses are the dry seeds of legumes, right?
Yeah.
So where I used to get until last night, all confused.
Yeah.
Was like, how are these different from split peas? Because like lentils, especially like green lentils, kind of look a lot like
split peas. I can answer this one. So a lentil is like the whole seed, but a split pea is like the two carpels, I want to say.
Well, so what I found is that they're both legumes, but they're different species.
Yes.
That lentils are the dried seeds of legumes. Split peas are dried field peas.
Yes, which are also the seeds of legumes.
And these are split down their natural seam into these two halves so they cook more
quickly. Seed leaves, two seed leaves, something like that.
Oh, interesting.
I'm throwing around a lot of botanical terms.
You are.
Possibly some of which are close to being correct.
Carpal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Insert joke about carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yeah, that was funny. So anyway, yeah, there are tons of...
Abby, could you come up with a joke about carpal tunnel syndrome, impersonate me or Molly, and then splice that right into the show?
For easier cooking.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Spliced for easier cooking.
So anyway, yeah, there are lots of different types of these things. They all behave really differently when you're cooking them. Like, some of them really hold their shape. If they still have the husk on them.
Yeah, like the Puy lentils that that my grandfather is so into, those tend to hold their shape really nicely.
Mm-hmm. Whereas like lentils without the husk, like a red lentil, those tend to just fall to pieces mm-hmm. when you cook them.
But like in a nice way.
In a nice way, yeah. But anyway, one thing that I particularly enjoyed in doing some research on these lentils was learning like their different names. Like I almost wished we had done a lentil quiz.
Oh, you can make a quiz for me anytime.
Their names weren't necessarily like naturally funny, like you know, like grandma's eyeglasses or something.
Sure.
but one, they had names that were sort of normal, like Green Eston, or like
the hilarious so far,
like Laird, which is the name of the really annoying hippie dude who lives downstairs from Hannah Horvath in Girls.
Haven't watched that far into the show, but when you said Laird, what makes me think of is because I read romance novels, and like in a Scottish romance novel, there's like a lord is called a Laird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So they're always talking about
Well, you know,
Lairds.
I think this is probably like the Lord of Lentils, because I think it's one of the most commonly grown types. It's a large green lentil.
You're a large green lentil.
Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
You know, Matthew, I don't know if you noticed. So when Matthew and I went to Tokyo recently, we went for a week. We had a really long flight to get over there, as everyone does from North
yep.
America. And the only bra I took with me was one of my Third Love 24/7 t-shirt bras. I wore it for the whole flight getting there. I wore it every day in Tokyo, and I wore it for the whole flight home. And look at me. I'm still a happy person.
Wow, that's amazing. It didn't
right?
it didn't start to like chafe or whatever it is bras do when you wear them too long.
Yeah, it started to chafe with me just sitting still in the seat. They don't do that, Matthew.
Okay.
Come on now. A Third Love bra would never do that.
No, of course not.
Because these bras are incredibly comfortable. And I swear, people, I mean this. I've got pretty sensitive skin. This bra was super comfortable for all of those hours. You should really try it.
Okay, and to do that, go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to find your perfect fitting bra and try it free for 30 days. You just pay a little bit for shipping, and if you like it, you keep it and they charge your card. And if you don't like it, which is ridiculous, then you send it back and they charge you nothing.
Yep, so go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk now to find your perfect fitting bra and try it for 30 days. That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. Did you know that a lot of these are grown in Washington State?
I didn't know that.
I thought
that.
We were just like a whole bunch of apples and potatoes.
And hops.
And hops.
Mm-hmm. Apples and hops and potatoes. You know, potatoes. No, so lentils are grown in Washington also?
Yes, in the Palouse.
Ooh.
In eastern Washington.
I don't think I actually knew that the Palouse was in Washington.
I didn't either. I thought it was in France.
Yeah, I would have guessed France or Idaho. Or
oh, it's near Idaho.
Canada.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, like basically, what do you do with these things?
Wait, does the Palouse have a tourist slogan that involves like Palouse yourself?
in the Palouse?
Yeah. What do I do with lentils? So I eat lentils most frequently in the form of the lentil soup that my mom tends to make often. My mom, Judy Amster, frequently
mentioned non-guest of the show.
Yes, one of the show's two favorite moms.
Yep.
She makes this lentil soup and will always make too much of it and give us some, which is awesome because like free soup. And until very recently, I would call it.
Oh, it
her...
has like sausage in it.
Oh,
like,
you've had two?
She made it for me after June was born.
There you go.
She brought me an absolute truckload of it.
Yes. And so
literally pulled up a dumpster in my driveway.
She literally pulled up a dumpster. soup. Yeah, I used to when
she's
used to
really strong.
Have lunch.
She
yes,
pulled a dumpster up my driveway.
Yeah, she's one of New York's strongest.
We don't live in New York.
Well, but that's I don't know. That's actual an actual nickname for New York sanitation workers.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Cool. But I don't think the equivalent thing. Okay, she's one of Seattle's strongest sanitation workers. anyway, so if you looked closely into that soup dumpster, you would have noticed that the for me the best thing about her lentil soup, or at least the most entertaining thing, and I mean soup is very entertaining.
God,
so
just get on with this.
that there would be sausage, like little slices of link sausage.
Yeah, it's almost like hot dogs.
And fingerling potatoes, and the sausage and the potatoes looked almost identical. And so I call it like the potato sausage masquerade soup.
Oh, I saw that you wrote that on the agenda.
I asked her for the recipe. We'll share the recipe for this. But then she said recently Trader Joe's changed the size of their sausage, so it's no longer a masquerade, but it's still delicious.
I love that the term masquerade came up.
Uh-huh, me too.
Wasn't there a song from the 80s that had the word masquerade in it? Like,
I'm sure. I don't know what song you're thinking of off the top of my head.
Did Careless Whisper have masquerade in it? No, that seems
I don't know.
Very unwhammy. anyway, okay. So lentil soup conjures up good feelings for you.
Yeah, definitely. Other than that, I mean, I don't cook with lentils very often. Let's be honest. Now that I've had this delicious thing that you made today, I'm going to make this because it's great. And I bet it was probably pretty easy.
Yeah. You want me to talk about it?
Yeah. I want you to talk about the thing you made.
Wait, can I finish talking about lentil soup first?
Sure.
Okay. So I feel like lentil soup is among soups that you might find in a can or like at a soup bar in a grocery store or like in a random cafe. I feel like it's pretty reliable. Like
yeah.
Even when it's bad, it just tastes healthy. It doesn't taste like a disaster.
Yeah. My wife, Lori, one of the show's two favorite partners.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She has asked me to maintain two cans of Progresso lentil soup in the cupboard at all times.
Oh my gosh! So when you're like now, warming some up, do you like race out to the store while you're warming some up to like
exactly,
get some
yes,
back
no,
in?
If it drops below two, no. Actually, I realize now. I think I may have completely blown it on that and need to go get some.
Oh no!
Right now. See ya. All right, I'm back.
Okay. The lentil soup I tend to buy in a can is the Trader Joe's one.
Yeah.
June loves it. I mean, I think it's fine.
Uh-huh.
June loves it. I have also made a lentil soup using black lentils, or sometimes called beluga lentils. There's a recipe for that in the Zuni Cafe cookbook. I also made one probably at least 10 years ago now from the classic blog Chocolate and Zucchini.
Oh, yeah. Clotilde Dussoulier.
Exactly. She made a lentil soup that had canned chestnuts pureed into it.
Oh, wow.
It
that sounds fascinating.
It was so delicious. And, I mean, chestnuts are not inexpensive.
Yeah.
And I feel like the whole idea of lentils is that it's, like, so cheap and
I
so...
I think I had a chestnut soup the one time I was in France.
It's a very... I think of it as a very French thing, like pureeing chestnuts into your lentil soup. But anyway, she's got an old recipe on her blog. Hopefully it's still there for a lentil soup with chestnuts. And, oh, and then there's one I wrote about in Bon Appetit a long time ago. And I learned about it from... a place that is sadly no longer in business here in Seattle called Picnic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They made a lentil soup, and in order to like boost its richness and satisfyingness without like adding a ton of butter or whatever,
they added a ton of cream.
No, they basically pureed chickpeas.
Oh.
They made this like really smooth chickpea puree and blended that into the lentil soup, and it made this incredible, you would never know what was in there, that made it this kind of wonderful, like just extremely satisfying soup. And it had lots of spices in it. It had a really sort of Indian vibe.
But they didn't do that thing where they whipped the liquid from the chickpea can, right?
No, that's like an egg white substitute,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. I've never tried that. It looks fascinating.
Anyway, I feel like lentil soup sounds like total drudgery. And
right,
yet,
but it's actually kind of, it's like usually lighter than you anticipate also.
Yeah, and I feel like I feel like lentil soup is one of those things where people, like particularly teenage boys, would be like, oh, lentil soup.
Yeah.
But I don't know of anybody who would actually eat it and be like, that wasn't tasty.
Yeah, no, many of my daughter's friends are teenage boys. And if I have to listen to them complain about lentil soup one more time.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. And also, it, you know, we've talked on the grilled chicken, no, the roast chicken episode about how, like, I, in particular, like, need something with more flavor interest than many classic American dishes that apparently I feel like I'm better than. And lentil soup, takes so well to a variety of different kinds of spices.
Yes.
That will keep me eating it.
Yes, totally. Totally.
Spices such as sausage links.
Okay. Well, speaking of spices and ways of using lentils in interesting preparations. So one of my favorite things has for a long time been this dish that has many different names and permutations throughout like the Arab world. And it is called moujadra. I came to know it as moujadra. I think people pronounce it all kinds of different ways, spell it all different ways. Uh-huh. There's a version in Egypt called kashari.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Basically, the premise is it has lentils, rice, and caramelized onions.
Yes.
And it is so delicious. I mean, you put those three ingredients together, and it is like guaranteed success.
Yeah, no, we just ate some and there's some more in the fridge and I'm thinking about like whether I can weasel out of the rest of this show to go heat up some more.
Well, so the version that I made this time is, I have a recipe on my blog for moujadra that I've had up there for an eternity. I haven't made it in a long time. I should see if it's still good. But anyway.
Or if it's gone off in that time.
The recipe that I made that we are eating today is from Samin Nosrat's new book, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. Her version is this Persian version. Wow, that's great. I like that. It's a Persian version. It's adapted from one that her mom used to make for her. And basically, the Persian version is called like adas polo or something like that.
Like polo, like related to like pulao or
yes,
pilaf,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. And it too has lentils, rice, caramelized onions, usually some warm spices, and it adds raisins that are often fried like in butter.
Ooh, did you do that?
So what I did was her version, which is designed to be just a little bit easier than the multi-step version I think her mom used to do. This one has raisins and dates, and you add them at the point that you add the dry, uncooked rice to the caramelized onions, which have butter and cumin and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that you're necessarily like, frying the raisins in butter, but they do get kind of coated as you're stirring it all together. And then they cook with the rice and they get really plump and get that like extra layer of kind of sweetness from the caramelized onions. Anyway, and in Samin's recipe, you also brown some chicken pieces and you add those to the pot as the rice is all cooking together with the lentils and the onion. It is so good. So good. I would say it is worth the price of the book and you will eat off of it for an age.
Yeah, it reminds me of when Lori and I were first going out, her best friend Shada, Shada's late father was from Iran and would make these lavish Persian dinners, which were like everything you made was great, but especially the rice dishes and like the flavor profile is very much like what you made.
Oh, I just love it. There's something so special about what lentils do with like basmati rice and caramelized onions.
Yeah.
It's like you lose the onions in there. They just become like the flavor of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. The lost onion.
Oh, it's so delicious. So yeah, I mean, all these different versions of this lentil rice pilau, basically.
Yeah, just
incredible.
Just do that. I mean, if you got some lentils, you know, you can do the French sausage thing. You can make lentil soup, but just do the thing Molly said. That's my guiding philosophy in life. Just do the thing Molly said. I've always looked back and said, I should have done the thing Molly said.
I would not go with that.
I even used to say that before I met Molly.
Anyway, but hold on. I think that the simplest way of using lentils, and it's surprisingly delicious,
is just eat them raw out of the bag.
There is this recipe that Patricia Wells is known for. Mm-hmm. I think she calls it like her bistro lentil salad.
Yeah.
You use little green French lentils, and you just cook them in water for like 25 minutes or so until they're tender, with an onion that you've cut in half and stuck with garlic, with cloves.
Yeah. Like a Christmas onion.
Yes, a Christmas onion. And
I guess that's an orange.
And
is what I'm thinking of. And
a bay leaf. You know,
a Christmas onion.
And a bay leaf and like a whole clove of garlic, I think. And then you drain off the lentils, get rid of the aromatics. And then you basically just season it with salt, olive oil, and red wine vinegar.
Uh-huh.
And it is so much more delicious than you would imagine.
Yeah,
like, it's totally like, it's weird. Lentils, when they are overcooked with like too much water and they get waterlogged and really gross.
Yeah. Like,
they're so gross.
And remember that time I made kasha for our buckwheat episode?
It was horrible.
Yeah, that's what that reminded me of.
Yeah, there's something about lentils that are cooked with too much water and they blow apart and get really watery.
But I mean, depending on the recipe, you might want the lentils to blow apart. It depends on the type of lentil.
I think it depends on the type of lentil. Yes, like a French lentil that has been cooked until it absolutely falls apart is revolting.
Yeah,
just tastes like dust.
But like Ethiopian lentil dishes are often, you know, cooked to like a delicious paste.
Yes, like a red lentil or a yellow lentil.
Yeah, red lentil, yellow lentil. That's the vocal exercise we do before each episode.
Anyway, yeah, I feel like people love to like make fun of lentils.
Yes,
like
people love to make fun of lentils. Again, you have hit on so many things that I'm hearing these days. Teenage boys just pissing on lentils. People just making fun of like, hey, you know, your face looks like a lentil. Like the lens in your eye looks like a stupid lentil. Like, what, did you overcook those lentils? Yeah, I'm like, people need to like move on to making some fun of something else, such as chickpeas or cinnamon sticks.
Yeah, seriously. Come on, people.
Or Christmas onions.
Okay. Well, we will post links to as many of these recipes as we can dredge up.
Yep.
Or as we can
like how you dredge up the lentils from the bottom of the soup.
No, I was kind of thinking about we're going to pull them up in the dumpster.
Oh, right.
We're going to pull up the old dumpster of lentil recipes.
What are we pulling the dumpster out of? Do we have a garbage truck with one of those things
that slide into the fork?
Yes, the fork things that slide
the
into
forklift.
Yes.
No.
I don't think that's technically a forklift, but like the fork-like thing that slides into the sleeves on the side of the dumpster.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. A dumpster lift. Yes. Do we have one of those? Because those things are amazing.
We don't. This episode was brought to you by Third Love.
And Molly, you and I just spent a week in Tokyo, and I understand you only took one bra with you.
Yup, my Third Love bra. I wore it all the way there, all the way home, and every day, and I still love this bra. So comfortable.
Sweet. So try one for free for 30 days. Just pay $2.99 for shipping. Go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to find your perfect fitting bra and try it for 30 days in Tokyo or anywhere else.
Yep, thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. We'll post recipes for as many of these things as we can on our website, which is
spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Yep. And you can also find us on Instagram, where we won't be posting a picture of this lentil thing because we ate it.
Uh-huh. But I just said there's more in the fridge. We can take a picture of my fridge and put like some text on there that says, there's lentils in here. Don't make fun of it.
At Spilled Milk Podcast on Instagram.
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. Please leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, the BlackBerry store.
Yelp.
Yep. Oh, the Yelp podcast, Yelp. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. We have our finger on the pulse of the entire vegetable kingdom.
Wow. I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Vegetable is not a kingdom. And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. It's close enough. The vegetable.
Well, you know, in
section.
Different parts of the world where they grow, like where they're really known for different vegetables, like corn is king in Nebraska.
That's right. In Nebraska, corn is king.
So,
therefore,
yeah, it's a kingdom.
Nebraska
a vegetable
is a kingdom. Did we already say who we are?
Yes. Bye.
Maybe sometimes it's better to just let the mystery be.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.